guys on defense. Was that a product of the depth on that side of the ball? I know Chip said it wasn't, you know, quarterback, not great.
Yeah, I think the way our board went was early. We had it was probably a little bit more offensive players at the top. That wasn't by design. That was just how the board came out. And when we looked at it last night on defense, there were a bunch of players that we liked. And, you know, for us, we grade players differently. We grade players for our scheme, for our system. You know, we grade players on the intangibles and the chemistry and the culture that's important to us. So, obviously, the things that we're looking for are going to be different. Teams run a 4-3. Teams are looking for different players on offense and defense because they have different responsibilities.
How much action was there for that top pick of the fourth round? How much did you weigh trading that pick?
We waited, and you guys know one of the benefits, you know, I was joking last night that you always want to see what happens when you have the first pick in the round, but you're not so certain that if you get the opportunity to have the first pick in the round, you're actually going to be the person drafting there. So we never want to be that team, but at the same token, it was interesting because you wanted to see what happens when you have that first pick during the day and have the whole night. And for us with Jalen, when we weighed all the factors about moving down, we just thought he was a very valuable player for us. And we thought he's another one of those guys, kind of like when we got Brandon, who if his ankle was 100%, would have ran even faster and done even better as a testing. And when you talk about the package of the things he can do, he can play corner, he can play nickel, he can play safety. We think he's got really starting ability to all those three spots. He's almost 6 feet tall. He's as smart as there can be. You know, I had a chance to talk to Coach Muschamp. Obviously, I go down to Florida every year and know him, follow his career. And so just didn't want to risk it. And, you know, the other thing you got to look at is how far do you want to go? You got a team with his ex-defense coordinator that had two picks within 10 of us. And we just felt like we would have a lot of regrets if we got cute there.
In the Bryce Brown trade, what are the conditions that would make that a third-round pick?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. That added to the whole draft weekend, just negotiating that trade. That was a little bit complicated. I don't know that I've ever been involved in 14 years in the National Football League and something like that with conditions based on the trade. Why don't we write it out for you and get it for you instead of me sitting here and explaining it to you and confusing you more? You know, that's one of the things where you get off the phone and you explain the deal to, you know, coach and the owner, and they say, one more time, put it on a piece of paper, put it on the board right there. So, but I think it's a win-win trade, and that's what you're looking for in this league. A great opportunity for Bryce, and I think it was good for both sides.
Why did he become expendable?
Well, I don't know that he was expendable. We weren't looking to dump him. I think that was part of what made this complicated was we thought he had value. And from our perspective and certainly mine, you drafted him. We saw how much talent he's had. We've seen him do it in the National Football League. So we didn't view him as expendable. But in this league, if you have an opportunity to get value for guys, you got to make that decision. And we thought that it was a win-win situation. And then we like our group there. And I think in the next couple of days, we'll get an opportunity to add some talented guys to that group as well. Yeah, we have calls about players all the time, but you know, that was really the only thing of substance.
Chip said one of the common themes, and Chip talked about this a little earlier, was most of these guys, if not all of them, just very smart in interviews, graduated, you know, a lot of academic All-Americans, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. I know you don't go out looking for smart guys, but how important is it to have, you know, have that in these guys on both sides of the ball?
Well, it's almost common sense. It's the same thing when anyone's interviewing for a job. The more qualifications, the more credentials they have for the job, the more appealing normally they are. And the most important thing is that they got to be good players. But, you know, we look for that. That's part of what we do when we look for players. And when you look at the success rate of players in the National Football League, the guys who played for 4 years and graduated college have a higher success rate. And probably same stats as the real world.
What made Josh Huff a third-round pick in this organization's
view? You know, it's funny because I know Coach got up here and he says he stays away from the evaluations, and it's the truth. He really does. And I know when I started with Oregon in August, and I don't ask for his opinion. I tell him mine. And then if we have a difference of opinion, we kind of talk about it, and he tells me what he sees. And obviously really likes Josh, but as evaluators, as personnel staff, you know, we really like Josh because it's easy to see what he does in our offense, right? So it's an easy transition for us, and that's one of the hardest things when you're projecting players is how are they going to fit in your scheme if they don't do what you're doing. So with a guy like Josh, you see him playing in the slot, you see him playing outside, you see him doing the things that we ask receivers to do. And then I know coaches talked a lot about what we're looking for in a receiver and the ability to beat man coverage, beat press coverage. And when you talk about a guy like Jordan Matthews, he can do it by his ball skills, by being able to go over guys. He's 6'3", you know, he's 217 pounds, he's got huge hands, he's got long arms. And Josh Huff, he can separate because he's explosive. I mean, when I watch Josh Huff, I say explosive. And when we looked at the receiver board, he was just a guy we wanted. You know, we wanted on this team because of his ability with the ball in his hands, his ability to separate, you know, his toughness on special teams, his ability to return kicks, but really it's his ability as a wide receiver. And, you know, quite frankly, we thought there was a lot of talent at wide receiver in this draft. And we also felt like we needed to add some good players at that position, and that's part of what we do.
You said you had to convince him that Taylor Hart would be there in the fifth round early on. Did you have to do that with any other players, and did you think about trying to do that with Josh Huff specifically?
No, I would say, if anything, that was on me, on Josh Huff. And I was as excited as him, if not more. You know, I just think that as a personnel staff, we were really excited about what Josh Huff can do for our offense. You know, and the more we watched him and the other receivers and saw his projection, we just got really excited and we wanted him. So that's where we were on Josh. And you know, I'm very fortunate because Coach puts a lot of trust in us as a staff. And when you say something like that, he trusts it. And I feel fortunate that he's got that faith in all of us.
He said we would have taken Taylor in the third round. Then when the fourth came around, I think they were ready to take him then. And then you said, let's take Walk, the way he put it, you said, let's take Watkins now. We can get Coach, we can get him, we can get Taylor in the fifth. Is that pretty much how it happened?
The third round, we were going to take him there?
We would have taken Taylor in the third round.
When? Well, you're saying, like, because we traded 83, right?
Oh, no, Chip said we would have taken him in the third round.
Well, I think what he meant by that was we had a third-round grade on him, but I'm not sure. I wasn't here for that.
I don't think he said, yeah, you guys are ready to take him there. Okay. But I think he said you would have taken him.
I mean, we had a third-round grade on Taylor because when you look at it, it's interesting because really the last 2 years are the first 2 years in my career that I've been part of looking for 3-4 defensive ends. And when you really get down to it, there's not a lot of guys in the draft that kind of fit the description you're looking for. And so, again, Taylor, it's easy to see what he does, and his production really is off the charts. You know, Coach Az likes to talk about contacts with the ball, and his ability to make contacts with the ball is extremely impressive. And he can run. He's got instincts. He's big. He's long. And so we did have that third-round grade, and because you know half the team doesn't run a 3-4, when we study other teams and run 3-4, they sometimes look for different three. There's variation on the 3-4 scheme, so we just kind of looked at it. You also kind of look at top 30 visits and who's worked them out privately. I felt like we had a good handle on Taylor and the teams that were interested in him. Of the teams that are interested in him, had they addressed that pick with a different player at that time, were they going to go back in the first four rounds and get a second guy? So. At the same time, there's no insurance for that, and you're never 100% on that, but you got to go with your gut and what you think.
Somewhere hard to find like a nose tackle in a 3-4-2. You know, Bo Allen can play that nose. Is it similarly difficult to find a 3-4 nose like it is a 3-4 D end?
You know what? Every time we're drafting a big guy, I think of what Bill Parcells said a long time ago. You know, God didn't make a lot of 330-pound guys who can run. And Bo Allen, the first time I watched Bo Allen – it was impressive how athletic he was for such a big guy and a powerful guy. And for us to find those guys, it's hard. It's hard to find those guys. So did I answer your question?
Well, you were saying how hard it was to find
these. Right. But what was your question?
The nose tackle, is it similar to find it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to find 330-pound guys who can run. I stick to my original sentence.
As you have the benefit of hindsight now, the first, and you look at the first round and second round, did the run of outside linebackers and receivers go as you anticipated on Thursday night?
Yes. you know. But I can tell you when we sat here on Friday, again, it's what I believed on Friday was going to happen. It's what I believed after making our pick and talking to people in the league. And I did stand a little, I sat a little taller in my chair after it happened, you know, feeling like good about it.
In terms of receivers, you traded up to get mm-hmm. Matthews. Was that run earlier than you thought? Did you think you'd be able to get him at 54 originally?
I would consider those two different circumstances, Zach, because with outside linebackers and pass rushers, people kind of pushed those up the board. With the wide receivers, I felt like people were going to take who they wanted at that position. You know, when there's that group, people are going to have different tastes in those guys, and we wanted Jordan Matthews. And we didn't want to sit there and be at our pick and miss out on that guy because we felt his fit for us specifically was the right fit.
Chuck was saying that he didn't have a feel for this draft. He said check back in 3 years. Do you have one? And if so, what is it?
My feel for this draft is it's over and I can go back to being a father and a normal citizen again. I think that's fair. It's hard. And especially as you get better as a football team, you know, the last couple of years when we drafted guys, you knew they were going to come in and play. And when you look at when we were good and the teams that were really good in this league, it's harder to get immediate contributors as starters right now. So we looked at it as the long-term best interest of our football team and guys who we projected as starters in this league down the line for our system. And so I think that as we look at it, will we get as many immediate starters from this draft as we have in the last couple of years? I don't know. You know, I know we'll have better competition. I know we're a more talented football team than we were when we started this offseason, quite frankly, than we were last year when the coaches got here. I think part of that is because we have depth and competition in a lot of positions. And I think if we have some injuries, we have guys who are going to be ready to play. And we have some young players who are going to be developed and in a couple of years going to be really good players.
If you look at the seven guys you've got, is there a theme there? Is there something you can say about this group that sums
well,
it up at all?
I think Coach talked about the intelligence, the football character of these players, but we didn't draft them solely because of that. You know, we draft these guys, and there wasn't really a theme. It was because of how our board shook out. And I think that we'll obviously have to look a couple of years from now and how it all shakes out. But I know that just sitting back here, and it's hard after one day because you get one player. And you know you have a plan of getting 7-8 players plus the undrafted guys. And even when you get two players on Friday night, and I always say this is my favorite day when you sit back and when I'm done with this, go upstairs and, you know, maybe have a beer or four and just look at our draft and other draft and who we got and what we did. And it's the first time to kind of do that. And you know, I don't know what time I'll go to sleep tonight, but that's kind of what you do tonight. But you haven't had a chance to digest it all. You're kind of going through the moment, and you kind of look up. I remember I looked up at some point in the draft, and I said, where did that guy go? And someone said 2 rounds ago, and I went, wow.
Howie, last year you got two guys, I think, that started right away, one that ended the season as a starter, and one that would have probably had there not been injury. Mm-hmm. So that's four. Mm-hmm. Do you look at this group and see any starters off the bat? Do you see anyone that you think by the end of the season could be starting?
Yes. I think we have a group of players in this draft that will immediately come in and compete for playing time, and then it's up to them. But definitely, I do see immediate impact. Now, some of it may be in a role initially, but we weren't going and drafting a guy, I mean, even a guy like Jalen, we don't go in and draft him because we think he's just a nickel corner or, you know, we think he's just a role player who can just fill in a variety of spots, you know. And I use him as the example because I know he did a lot of that at Florida, but just have an opportunity to study that program, be around that program, talk to the head football coach there, you know, that's the kind of player he is. They were looking for a guy who could go in and kind of call the defense for them. But he's as talented as anyone on that defense. And so he was just – the fact that he was versatile just added to his value for them. But for he certainly could be a starting outside quarter in the National Football League. He's got enough ability to play three spots. That makes him intriguing just as he grows. But we don't look at him as just a role player reserve as his ceiling.
I was kind of going to ask you the same type of question about, like, you know, the fact that you might not get, like, as many starters right away out of this draft class. I mean, does that make it even like more imperative, I guess, to kind of look further down the road, you know, at the success of this draft class?
Well, I think we've always talked about the draft being a long-term decision for us, and that I think the easy way out is just look at the holes on your roster and say, all right, let's just draft to fill those holes, because in the short term, probably get better draft grades and you probably look better in year one. But we're going to look at the upside, the ceiling of these players through year two and three, and hopefully four and five down the road. And that's where we draft and what we can get out of these guys. And so we understand that. We understand that sometimes as you get better as a football team, you may not have as many immediate starters from the draft class. But as you lose players because you're a better team, because you have to make some decisions on some guys, do you have guys ready to come in and fill the role and fill it at a high level?
Mm-hmm. You didn't draft any. I think it's only the second time since you got here. Mm-hmm. Didn't draft an O lineman. What's your comfort?
Sorry.
What's your comfort level? You know, with the Tobins and Kellys and you know those guys, Vanderveld and that whole group.
Yeah, I firmly believe in building a long line of scrimmage. You know, that's kind of how I was raised in the National Football League. I feel very good about the fact that we did do it on the defensive side of the ball here over the last couple of days. Continue to do it after the draft as well. I thought we'd have some opportunities to get some old linemen, but there was a run in the third round that was like nothing I've ever seen in my life. It was like, I don't know, if someone gave me the numbers, it was like player after player after player, and it was like all of a sudden we looked back up and our board was depleted, and we weren't going to reach. And that hurt because we went in thinking that we'd get some guys. I think the offensive linemen went earlier. I did not think it was a great group overall. You know, it's interesting, and obviously because we didn't know if we were trading back or trading up, you heard all this talk about this being the best draft in the last 15 or 20 years, but our personnel staff, us as a group, thought that way about the wide receiver position, but the rest of the draft, we thought there were some holes at some positions, and I think when you look at that group overall and just the depletion of the talent level, certainly by the time we got on the clock in the third round, we felt like it was hard to find a guy to go up and draft at that level, so that was one of the surprises. It's interesting, Rube. You know, I said this before we started the draft. I said this to my wife. You go in with a plan, and it never goes according to plan, ever. And you know that now. You just know it's going to be different. You can spend all, as long as you have the scenarios, you're going to be all right, but it's going to go different. And I think that's how you just kind of have to anticipate it.
Let me just follow up. And the flip side of that, the depth you do have, those guys, I mean, are you – you know, do you feel like you have enough there? You got three guys, you know, Harriman's, Peters, and Evan are all in their 30s.
Yeah, I think that you can never have enough offensive linemen, and we'll always be on the lookout for those guys. It's always going to be a priority for us, but, you know, we have this commitment. We're not going to reach, and, you know, that's going to be determined by our evaluations of the player, so we understand that's not always going to be the same evaluations as, you know, all of you guys and others, but that we need some of those young guys to step up, and they showed some promise, but when you go from year one to year two, I think that sometimes we've seen in this league with offensive linemen that you think they have a lot of promise in year one, and then they come back year two, and they need to take a next jump, and especially now what happened here, we need those guys to take a jump.
A two-part question connected to each other. The first, Watkins, it sounds like you project him as a corner, not a safety. Is that accurate? And then second, you said the other day you thought there was
you got to go one at a time, Zach. You know, the ADD kicks in. I'll forget the first question. I'll answer both. So, Jalen, I think for a young player, as he starts early in the career, it's hard to go back between two positions. So we wanted to have a plan with him, and the plan early on was to go in, play the corner position. He's very comfortable there, and then we'll see. And I think ideally, if you were going to play him at safety, you probably would want him to gain some weight, which just being around them in Florida, he certainly could do. But when is that going to be? And is that going to be right now? Is that going to be from year one to year two? Again, we know right now he can come in and play all those three spots at a high level, we think. But that's where we're going to start him off, yes.
And then on last week, you said you thought there was a drop-off at the safety position mm-hmm. on day three, but mm-hmm. you took Watkins, who could potentially be a safety, and you took Ed Reynolds. Were they upgraded before day three, or was that a smokescreen? How would you explain the...
I was talking about the overall group of the position. We did have Watkins as a corner on our board, so I certainly wasn't talking about him. And Ed Reynolds was a targeted guy. You know, that when I said there was a big drop-off, I thought as the group as a whole, we did have a couple of guys that we were kind of targeting that we had higher on our board. You know, Ed Reynolds is an interesting guy because when you go back and you look at his tape last year, I think he had 6 interceptions. And so you do him early, and you're really excited about kind of seeing the jump he's going to make. And he's got a lot of tools. Had a chance to talk to Coach Shaw, and he's an unbelievable kid, unbelievable, obviously bloodlined. Athletically, I think he's underrated. And so for us, it was just when he was sitting there in fifth round, he kind of stood out to us, and now it's kind of on him. But I felt like that as the group as a whole. And to answer that first part of it, we had Jalen as a corner.
How just about all of your draft picks, you know, during this draft came from, like, major conferences and everything like that. Is there something to it? Is it, like, the competition they play? I mean, yeah. As opposed to maybe someone from a smaller conference?
Yeah, I think that when you look at who's playing in the league, you know, the important thing for us is level of competition. And so when you have a guy from a smaller level of competition, it's a harder projection, to be honest with you. And we're trying to beat the odds here, and the more things that they have going in their favor, the better chance you have of hitting on a guy. And so I don't think that's a coincidence. It's something I personally believe highly in. Usually the guys who are successful throughout. That doesn't mean there can be some unheralded guys in high school or stuff, but usually if they play well in high school, they play well in college, they play well in the pros.
Just sort of follow up on that. You got the two Oregon guys who played in similar schemes. You got Marcus Smith, who played in space at Louisville. Jordan Matthews, caught a lot of screens. You've got good character guys. It seems like there's an effort to limit the variables in the projection throughout the draft. Is that fair?
No question. I mean, you're trying to hit on as many guys as you can. And so the more times you roll the dice because of some level of competition, character, mental, any of those things that factor in, you're decreasing your chances of hitting on a guy. And so I'm not telling you that we have a secret formula, certainly not, but I think that that's what we feel most comfortable with.
As some coaches are good talent evaluators, Howie, some aren't. After 2 drafts with Chip, I mean, what are your impressions of him as far as his skills in that area, and how beneficial has his recent experience coming from college been in that evaluation process?
Quite honestly, he's extremely impressive, you know, and I don't know why I shouldn't have foreseen that after interviewing him and spending the time with him. Not that I just kind of took it for granted, but the amount of time he puts into guys, the amount of recall he has, I mean, he's an extremely smart guy, and he's got a knack, you know, and he's done it at a couple of different levels, and he's had to do it without some of the resources too, and I think that's a huge advantage to us. And really, our coaching staff as a whole has done a tremendous job of kind of blending with our personnel staff. And, you know, I don't know that our personnel staff, the experience that we have on our personnel staff, the talent that we have on our personnel staff, and this is certainly not anything to pat myself on the back, but to pat them on the back, they get enough credit. You know, and I look around that room and I look around our staff, and we have very talented guys on our personnel staff, and I just feel very fortunate to have that because I think that's the most important thing I've learned here, you know, as a relatively young guy in this position, is that you need good people around you, and I think we got great people in this building and on the road. Well, the funny thing and the lucky thing is we see a lot of players the same way, and I think that's probably because our job as a personnel staff is to find players with the traits that our coaching staff is looking for, how they fit in the scheme. You know, we could find really good players that don't fit our scheme, and they're not going to play very well for us, and they're not going to look very good for us. So when they do a great job of giving us a description of what they're looking for, and then it's our job to find them. So we're hopeful that the guys that we're finally funneling down and bringing to them are guys with traits that they're looking for. And fortunately, over the last 2 drafts, 2 years, we've been on the same page.
Last year, it seemed kind of clear cut when you selected Lane and Zach and Benny onto Matt that they were clearly the best player
had the best grade for you on the board when he selected him. This year, particularly in the first round with Marcus, there was talk of tier, which didn't really come into the conversation last year. Was the dynamic of this draft different in that respect?
Well, it's funny. I did this about 2 weeks ago, and I looked if we would have the 22nd pick in last year's draft. And what you forget, and hopefully we'll get used to it again, is that when you're picking later in the round, there's a lot more variables. And the first part of it is there's very seldom 32 first-round talents in a draft. And so at some point, the board's going to drop off of first-round talents. And so where is that going to be? You know, some years it's at 12. Some years it's at 17. You know, some years it's at 25. So, and it's all going to be based on what your description of that is and who you have highly rated. And so you know that's going to happen, especially when you're picking towards the back of the round. And it continues to go that way. You're not going to have 32 guys in the second round. I mean, if you're true to your board and true to the descriptions of what you have on the board. And so that's why I talk about tiers, because once you get past whatever the level is, and I don't want to use the first round just because I don't want it taken out of context, but, you know, if you're talking about the fourth round and you have 10 guys graded in the fourth round with the same description that you think are immediate role players and have a chance in 2 years to be solid starters, you know, can I tell you who's seventh in that group and who's ninth with any accuracy? I can't. So at that level, we're saying all these guys are kind of in the same group. I just didn't think that I could stand in front of you guys and not tell the truth, which is that, you know, we do have groupings of guys. We do have tiers of guys. And in those tiers, I don't know that our rankings from 1 to 5 are accurate. And so to say that that guy's the best player, you know, in that tier, I think they're all kind of the same grade. So I grade them kind of the same, but the question was asked directly to me, you know, just based on, you know, did you take exactly one to, or two? And I said, no, they're in the same tier, you know, because that's how we kind of had them stacked. Does that make sense?